So the other thing we want to talk about in terms of ER-positive metastatic disease is this new agent that we now have. And like so many agents in oncology, it requires a test, an assay that has to be positive in order to utilize it. So Virginia, can you talk a little bit about how we were approaching women who got first-line therapy? So for some years now, that's been a CDK inhibitor plus endocrine therapy, and then disease progression. What were we doing previously, and what are we doing now?
Previously, we would give another anti-estrogen therapy, could be fulvestrant, possibly in combination with an mTOR inhibitor. Now, as and Joyce mentioned this before, when we have a patient with metastatic disease, I usually do two things. First of all, I test them for BRCA, and secondly, I test them for PIK3CA mutations if they're ER positive or PD-L1 if they're ER negative. And this gives me the option of potentially giving a PI3 kinase inhibitor such as alpelisib.
And can you talk a little bit about the research that led us to use alpelisib in these patients with these PIK3 mutations, Virginia? And what we know about PIK3 mutations to start with, I think they're fairly common in breast cancer. And also take a look at the results when alpelisib was used. We can put that slide up. But can you talk a little bit about how alpelisib actually works, why we use it in these patients, Virginia, and then what kind of benefit that we get from treating them?
So in ER-positive metastatic disease, around 40% of the patients will have a PIK3CA mutation, so a mutation in PI3 kinase. And those patients, the tumor really is driven by the PIK3CA, and therefore a medication like alpelisib, which is an inhibitor of PI3 kinase and the alpha subunit, and that's different from several other inhibitors that are in the market, some in lymphoma and other diseases. And so the patients with these PIK3CA mutations, as seen in the slide, had a significant improvement in progression-free survival when alpelisib was added to fulvestrant. The patients that were PIK3CA negative, because they were included in that clinical trial too, had no benefit from alpelisib.
And somebody in the chat room I saw brought up the fact that other CDK inhibitors used in premenopausal women we have data on, including palbo, so it's not just ribociclib. What about tolerability issues, Joyce? What kind of problems do you get into with alpelisib?
Hyperglycemia is the main one. The key on alpelisib is don't give it to patients whose glucose is not under control. Their hemoglobin A1C has to be less than 6.5%. If you do that and they home monitor, come into the office, start them on some metformin, if they get above 160 on their glucose, they'll be okay. But hyperglycemia is the key one, and also super important. You got to give prophylactic non-drowsy antihistamine at least daily. The package insert says daily, but I use a BID, you know, Zyrtec or Claritin, et cetera, BID to prevent rash. Because once it starts, it's hard to treat the rash. So you want to prevent the rash. But I will tell you that women lose a lot of weight on alpelisib. We do high fives all around on that one. Just did that today. Did a high five. And so sometimes you have to reduce the dose because the weight loss gets quite substantial.
And what's the mechanism of the weight loss? Is it related to diabetes or something separate?
It's blocking the pathway whereby cells take in glucose. So I guess that makes you lose weight, Neil. I don't know. It's a very, this ought to be used for our obesity problem. It's really quite profound.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, I heard somebody talking about lenvatinib in the same way. But anyhow, let's finish out with a couple of cases of people actually got these therapies. And again, without going into details, Marissa, you have this 58-year-old lady. I just want to find out what happened when she got, obviously she had a bunch of therapies before, but when she got fulvestrant alpelisib, it looks like she required a dose reduction. So she was one of these people who lost weight, I guess, that Joyce was just talking about. What happened there, Marissa? Was she unable to eat? She wasn't, was it diabetes or what happened?
I think like Dr. O'Shaughnessy said, you know, she really, overall was tolerating the medication. I think I had taken some notes within the first few months she had lost about 20 pounds. So I don't know if it was a problem that she wasn't eating, you know, because we watch their blood sugar so closely. But like Dr. O'Shaughnessy said, we had to dose reduce her and her weight stabilized after that.
So, and we'll just finish out with Daniel's case. So he had a 44-year-old lady who also had a mutation that led her to be treated with alpelisib and fulvestrant. And again, just focusing on what happened, it looks like she got started on this in February, Daniel. What looks like she had some problems, but then you adjusted things and she's doing well at this point. What's going on?
Yeah, she's doing great right now on the alpelisib. Actually, she just had recent staging scans, and so far everything looked pretty stable. So, you know, we'll restage again in about 3 months to see how the patient's disease, you know, if she's stable or not. But as far as the side effect profile, it actually hasn't been too bad. We haven't had any of the issues about hyperglycemia with her, so we'll just kind of keep playing it by ear. But so far, she's been doing pretty good, and I'm glad that her recent staging scans were still stable. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on it.
So, Virginia, any comments about this woman and her course, and particularly what happened when she started the alpelisib fulvestrant?
I was pretty surprised that she did not have much hyperglycemia. As you may know, you know, 3/4 of San Antonio are diabetics, and the ones that are not also have some sort of glucose intolerance. But she tolerated the medication well. As Joyce mentioned, the rash can be a little bit of an issue. You can have a little bit of diarrhea, but it's extremely important. And on that clinical trial, the hemoglobin A1C had to be less than 6.5 for patients to be eligible. So if we have the general U.S. population where everybody is obese and many people are diabetics, we have to be very careful before we start the medication.
So I want to really thank everyone who attended tonight. Thanks to the faculty.